Please be seated.
May the words of my heart, words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you in Jesus' name. When I was a young Christian in my late teens, I attended a youth group meeting and the study imagined the human race having to leave Earth and create a new world on another planet. We brainstormed what professions would be necessary to begin again, and I listened as lots of suggestions were made. After the list was quite long, the facilitator asked, "Is there anything else before we move on?" And I asked, "What about artists?" The response was laughter. "What do we need them for? What use are they?" Well, since I have spent my life asking that question and have come to believe that the visual arts are an antidote for our highly polarised, image-saturated, screen-dominated society, are important for everyone and ought to be part of our everyday life, not just in a gallery or museum or practiced by those who are talented. I am pleased to discover that recently scientists have been asking the same question and coming to the same conclusion, that the visual arts are vital for our relationship with ourselves, with others, and with creation. One study shares that a regular visual arts practice builds significantly more connections in a critical part of our brain called the default mode network, which is associated with a variety of functions, such as reflecting on one's emotional state, empathy, and imagining the future. Not only was this important part of the brain strengthened by producing art, but the participants also became better able to cope with stress. Another study shares that arts training can cause dramatic changes in the brain, including strengthening of the attention network, a series of regions linked to general intelligence. And evidence is growing that skills built practicing the arts can cross into other mental domains. Today, we talk about empathy, diversity, creativity, intelligence, resilience, and mindfulness as being essential to restoring our personal, societal, and environmental health. We go to workshops and courses that are supposed to teach us these skills. Yet the methods humans have evolved to practice and give expression to these skills, the arts, are still considered optional. When we practice the arts, we are using our analytical and emotional facilities, our imaginative and practical, our intellectual and our instinctual. The arts, and all of the arts, explicitly utilise the creative process. No other human activity can teach us better about creativity than the arts. And when our minds process creativity through the arts, it is not just intellectually comprehended, but also emotionally. And it impacts our whole mind in such a way that we are then able to apply creative thinking in practical ways to every area of our lives. Stanford neuroscientist David Eagleman and composer Anthony Brandt are co-authors of the book The Runaway Species. They explain that what makes us human is exactly that we are able to be creative. Because of the development of our frontal lobe, we can imaginatively stand back from time and space, take what already exists, bend it, break it, and then blend it together in an original manner. This is exactly the process that we see in Genesis chapter 1. God is hovering over what is yet unformed. God separates light from dark, land from sea, night from day, animal from vegetable. And it is in the relationship between those separations that all of the diversity of life is established. Death occurs when polarity ceases to be the method by which we are creative, and extremes are no longer functioning as a means to inspire relationship and instead become independent from the diversity that connects them. The arts thrive in and cultivate diversity. The arts teach us to keep our minds and society open and engaged with finding connections with what is different, perhaps even strange, so that unity in diversity is possible and peace is cultivated not by eliminating difference, but by appreciating it. A society that rejects the arts has stopped seeing diversity as positive, looks at the other as someone to be feared, and at difference as aberration. It was a closed mindset that was responsible for the bodily and cultural damages that European colonial expansion perpetrated upon the peoples of the New World. It is no coincidence that the era of colonisation was the same that oversaw the demonisation and desecration of sacred arts all over Europe, and that Columbus was set sailing across the ocean blue by the monarchy that instituted the Spanish Inquisition. European settlement of the New World was birthed by an anti-diversity, anti-art version of religion combined with mercenary power and greed. It is this very combination that is dominating and closing in on our world today. A near-sighted, rigid mindset is challenging the well-being of our environment, the rights of First Nations, of refugees, of the LGBTQ community, of women, of the sciences, and of the arts. It cultivates racism, polarisation, and extremism in our civil discourse. It despises the poor and distorts the gift of wealth into a greed that refuses to see the creation as an entity to be cherished, let alone acknowledging it as the revelation of God. In our everyday discussions on social media about the Anthropocene, I often see the idea that the changes in our climate today are natural, the logic being that somehow if we humans are part of nature, then our influence on the climate ought to be seen as another page in the history of the Earth. I believe that it is the denial of ourselves as being part of nature that has resulted in what is causing harm to the world. The early church fathers described Jesus as the good, the true, and the beautiful. But as Yaroslav Pelikan points out in his book, Jesus Through the Centuries, His Place in History and Culture, since the Reformation, Jesus as the beautiful has been edited out of our theological and cultural understanding of the divine so much that today we are seeing the end result in our society's callousness toward creation. From Psalm 19 we hear, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." While all of the arts are vitally important, the visual arts have a particular relevance for our relationship with creation. The language of nature is comprehended through texture, through colour, shape, form, tone, size, space, rhythm, movement. And this is also the language by which we understand visual art. When we learn visual language, we are using our mother tongue. We are children in conversation with the creation and with the Creator. Science shares that those born with innate artistic ability literally perceive the world more accurately than non-artists. Yet, the ridiculously encouraging thing is that a simple practice of drawing enables even those who are not artists develop their ability to visually comprehend the world. We take for granted, when we want to learn more about creation, that it is science that teaches us best. Yet it is easy to forget that it was the gift of observing life through drawing that allowed us to develop the sciences. In a study from Australia, which introduced students to using drawing in order to explore and justify their understandings in science, it was found that not only were they more able to recognise colour, texture and form, they were more motivated to learn. They learned to reason creatively in a way distinct from, but complementary to, reasoning through argumentation. Talk about what the world needs now. And students found learning enjoyable. Russell Tyler, science educator at Deakin University in Warren Ponds, Australia, put it this way: "We can have students exercising their creativity and imagination in order to learn the canonical knowledge of science. There is no need for it to be transmitted as dead knowledge. Consider the lilies of the field," Jesus says. What is it that he is wishing for us to consider? Does he want us to take samples and label each part? The stamens, the pistils, the petals? Does he want us to break down the chemistry of their fragrance? Is it not their beauty he wants us to take note of? Consider the beauty of these lilies. Consider the glory of the stars. Even better now that science has given us the Hubble Space Telescope. Let them remind you that life is so much more than what you eat and what you drink or what you wear. God knows you need these things. But seek first the kingdom and all these shall be added to you. The arts remind us that there is more to life than being useful and simply surviving. The arts are us. They are literally the manifestation of our beings as the image of God. We are co-creators. Without vision, it is not only the people who perish, Today, our minds, emotions, society and environment have fallen apart because we have sacrificed personal creativity to consumerism, and our vision has been co-opted to the advertising and entertainment industry. Many of us are wondering how it is we are going to survive. If we are to help the new world that is approaching overcome the damages of materialistic, commercial and colonial culture, the arts, including the visual arts, absolutely need to teach us to envision our world anew. God created the world not from nothing. From the beginning, we and everything we know was there in the darkness, waiting to be called forth. And even this darkness today has the promise of light. In the book of Acts, there are words that you could never ever say to children without a future. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all humankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young shall see visions, and your old shall dream dreams. Even with all the awfulness we have allowed, we are still God's children, and we still have a tremendous amount of raw material with which to work healing into our world. Human beings are made. We are wired to participate in the growth of the world, not the destruction of it. To restore our world, we need only to return to who we are. Come, let us dream and envision. We are God's little children. We are creators. Our world is not over yet. Amen.